And just a short and sweet message today, well, at least I think it'll be short and sweet. Matthew 5. This is one of those messages I've kind of had in the oven for a long time. I've just never really gotten it out and put any finishing touches on it. But some good stuff I want to try to pass on to you today just for a little bit. And I think we need a new rule for the church, by the way. We're gonna put up a church schedule and where we can't have over two people missing at a time. And if somebody's already scheduled to be out of here, then you can't miss. You've got to be here. So we'll get that up next week or two. So be sure to check that out. Maybe take a picture of it with your phone, so you at home you'll be able to see the schedule and know you got to go. Look at Matthew chapter 5, and Matthew 5 verse. But it don't really matter. I mean, I like having a larger group, of course, but the main thing I like having is just some people who love the Word of God and just want to get something, whether we're, you know, Jesus said two or three. We're two or three are gathered together in my name. There am I in the midst of them. And I hope that is the spirit in which we're here today and not for any other purpose. And if that's the case, then it'll be a good time in the Word. Matthew 5, verse 14, Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Ronald Reagan used to refer to that text, although he might not have said that that was Bible. He used to quote that and said, America is like a city on a hill. We have an obligation to shine to the rest of this world and not blend in with it. Ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege to be here today. A few in number, Lord God, than normal, but there's some folks here that, Lord God, they need something from the Word of God today. I pray this time will be well spent, Lord God, and you'll just give us some good stuff. I've enjoyed working up this message, and I pray you'll get in it, and that everybody here would enjoy it today and to take in just some simple truths from the Word of God in regards to letting their light shine and glorifying their Father. I pray you'll bless this time. Watch over these that couldn't be here. I pray you'll touch their bodies and strengthen them. They'll be able to be back with us again as soon as possible. And these traveling, keep them safe. And then get them home safely this afternoon. We'll thank you for that. Go with us now. Direct the message for every heart. God will thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I just want to talk about a simple message today. Let your light shine. You want a title? Let your light shine. That's what Jesus said there. And it's interesting you said that because he said you're the light of the world. Yet in another place, over in John chapter 8, he said he's the light of the world. He said I am the light of the world. That's one of those seven I am statements in the Gospel of John. He said I'm the bread of life. He said I'm, you know, different things he said. He said I'm the door. I'm the good shepherd. And another thing he said I am the light of the world. But here he says you're the light of the world. You said, was that a contradiction or something? No, not at all. He's the light of the world when he was here. When he was physically in the world, Jesus was the light of the world. Then he went away and said, I want you to be the light of the world in my absence. Meaning you're going to enter a dark age, church age, dark age night, so to speak. And there needs to be somebody down there reflecting the light of Jesus Christ in this dark world. So just as the moon reflects the sunlight, when you can't see the sun, we reflect Jesus Christ in this world. So both statements are true. He's the light of the world, and as he's now in heaven, and we're still down here carrying on his ministry, we are to reflect his light. So we are the light of the world. Both statements are true. And he goes further and says in John 15, verse 5, after saying here in Matthew that, you know, you're to let, you know, let your light shine, you know. He said that there. He said, in fact, in John 15, verse 5, without me, you can do nothing. I had somebody sent me a question about that a while back. They were all mixed up and confused, and I think they were under some bad teaching and preaching, and some of these so-called rightly dividing brethren had them all messed up, and they didn't understand that statement. I thought, well, leave it up to a lot of the brethren to completely quench the Holy Spirit in somebody's life and completely miss the spiritual importance of letting God work in and through you. And God wants to breathe through you. Another way of saying that, God wants to shine through you as a believer. And he said, without me, you can do nothing. Well, you can obviously do something, but it's not anything that counts in the eyes of God if Christ doesn't do it. Or as one brother said, if the Lord doesn't do it, there's not much to it. That's a good way to think of it. Okay, you did something, but did you do it without God? I mean, or did you do it letting God work through you? That's what the Lord wants. Without me, you can do nothing. So he's saying, when you get saved, God turns on the lights. And he says, don't you turn them off. And don't you put them under a bushel basket or do anything to hinder that light. Just let the light shine. One of my favorite illustrations, I've told it to you many times through the years, is the old story of the old London lamplighter going down the street one evening and putting the rod up there and lighting the lanterns, you know, one by one as it was starting to get dark. Some young boy saw it and said, hey, mister, what are you doing? He said, my lad, I'm punching holes in the darkness. I've always liked that. I'm punching holes in the darkness. I hope that's what I'm doing with my life. I hope that's what you're doing with your life. I mentioned putting out a track. Yes, just one track at the restaurant. You know, just one track on the table with a nice tip. I always felt like a nice tip makes that track mean just a little bit more. You know, some people won't even leave any tip and leave a track. Don't do that. If you're not gonna leave a tip, don't leave the track either. That's a bad testimony. Leave a decent tip so that they appreciate it. I mean, I don't get too carried away, but I mean, I give more than 15%. You know, with a track usually, I try to get up around 20% or so, round it off, whatever. And that depends. If my whole family's eating, I might do 15 exactly, you know, whatever. But if it's just one or two of us, you know. But that goes a long way. And sometimes you can use those money tips. Those are kind of clever too, but don't just give that only. You make somebody mad doing that. Give a fake $20 bill. He said, well, they get a track and a tip. That's not really a tip, though. It's fake money. Don't do that. Now, if you want to give a fake 20 and a real 20, and that's an adequate amount, okay. But even then, you got to be careful with that because you have them thinking they were getting a bigger tip, and now it's not. It's half fake. I don't know. There's a proper use for those things. I don't know that in the restaurant it might not always be the best unless there is a really good tip to go with it. Whatever the case, simply leaving a track somewhere, you know what you do? You're punching holes in the darkness. This is a dark world. Satan is the prince of darkness. He wants the lights out everywhere. And every time you quote scripture or you do something that is scriptural, or you put out a gospel track, or you witness something, or scripture magnet on your vehicle, whatever. I got a order in the other day from some lady up in Montana, and on her envelope she had three or four different little scripture things taped and stuck, you know. Well, she's just trying to be a witness to all the mail service, you know. I mean, that's one advantage of the slow mail service. If you put scripture on the envelope, it's got more time for everybody to see it. Joe Biden told you your mail is going to be slower. Okay, we'll just give them more of the Word of God then, and there it is. And that thing came in there, and on the bottom of that envelope, she had made a copy. That gal had gone out of her way to take a phone or a camera or something other and take a picture of one of Brother Schlechte's scripture magnets, the black ones with the reflective yellow, you know, and cut that out and then stick it and then tape it on that envelope. I thought, man, she put a lot of effort into that, you know. I took a picture of it and sent it to him. He got a kick out of it, you know, just knowing somebody thought that much of it, you know. And what's she doing? She's up there in Montana or Idaho, wherever that thing was, punching a hole in that darkness. See? He's over there in East, me and him cut up about it. He's got the Eastern Front, and over here it's all quiet on the Western Front, you know. And that's the way we cut up back and forth, you know. And I told him I'm sending Jacob over to help you out on the Eastern Front now. And so we're always back and forth with that. But we're all just trying to punch a few holes in the darkness, trying to make a difference. And one way you do it is just let your light shine. You don't have to be making anything happen. Just get out of the way and let God make it happen. Amen? Punching holes in the darkness. Let me give you three things about what Jesus said there, because he said, let your light, where'd that thing go? Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. But let your light shine. Let your light shine. Let me give you 3 points about that quickly today. Number one, you have a light. That's the first thing. You do have a light. See? Now, if you're not saved, I've got bad news for you. You don't have a light. But if you're born again, if you've been saved, there's a time in your life when you came to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, knowing that you're not going to save yourself. You can't, you know, do anything to merit your own salvation. God brought that awareness to you, and you said, well, yes, I do want to be saved. I received Jesus as my Savior, and that has happened. The Bible says that, we're going to see a verse later on, the God who said, let there be light, back in Genesis, said it again when you got saved. And let there be light in your heart. Let there be life in you. That's a great verse in Proverbs. I'll read it to you. Proverbs 20, verse 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So it's the candle of the Lord. It's like God lit it. God turned that thing on. Or in modern times, if you will, God flipped on the light switch. God, when you got saved, God contacted the utility company and paid the deposit and got the meter put on the side of the building and got all the light bulbs replaced and everything and flipped the switch on and then told you and I, don't turn it off. Quench not the spirit. Let your light shine. What is that? That's an admonition to don't do anything to stop it. See, it's not me. He didn't say make it shine. He didn't say go down to the utility company and get it turned on. He said, no, I turned it on. Now don't mess it up. See, don't mess it up like a kid, you know. They keep tearing something up and you fix it again. Now don't mess it up again. You understand me? See, it's like God saying that. Don't mess it up. You know, if you were to, this whole thing is like, say you were to rent a cabin in the Smokies or something, and you've done this probably. I've done this, and you get in your vehicle and you travel and you finally get over there and you get there late at night. You know, it's already dark. It's 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, whatever, and they give you this key or code or whatever to get in with, and you get there and you get in. Obviously, you want to make sure that you're code works and your key works. So you do that. You get through the door. You get in. What's the first thing you do? What's the first thing you do? You turn on the lights. You don't even think about it. You don't even think, I wonder if this place has lights. Of course it has lights. It's a cabin. People rent it. They would not have lights. I wonder if we're going to have to, honey, we might need to stop at the store on the way and buy some light bulbs. Because we get there, they might not have any light bulbs. You've never had that discussion. It is automatically assumed that when you get there, it's going to have lights and the lights are going to work. Because you've never been in a situation, I don't guess, where it hasn't worked. See? The only time it don't work is when you've rent first rent a house and you haven't paid the deposit or something yet, that kind of thing. But otherwise, it's up to the owner. It's up to the landlord. They take care of that. You just walk in and flip on the switch. You have lights. It's there. See? God said, well, you have it. You have a light right here. God turned it on when you got saved. And no matter how bright somebody else's light is, or how impressed you are with somebody else's light and what they got going, God is saying, you've got one too. What are you doing with it? Are you letting it shine? What are you doing with it? You've got one too. Don't be taken up with somebody else's light. You forget you've got one. You got one too. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:5, ye are the children of light. That's one of the things that we're called in the Bible. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Well, we were before we got saved. He said, you were of the darkness, and your God was the prince of darkness. He said, but that's not that's not the case anymore. Ephesians 5:8, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. What's he saying? Keep the lights on. Just let it shine. You have a light. Don't ignore that. Don't try to walk by somebody else's light. No, you got your own light. Let it shine. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 4:6. That's right after he said in 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Then he says, that's not the case with you. He said, you've got the God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Genesis 1, he said, let there be light. Well, that's something. That's power. The God, but think of that. The God who said, let there be light. And I mean, I've told you through the years, there's a lot of things I would like to see replayed in heaven. I get to watch it, sit down to DVD and turn it on, watch that thing. Lots of things in the Bible, to me, are just fascinating. I would like to see that firsthand. I mean, somebody was there and saw it. I didn't get to see it. I'd like to see it. I hope God's got it all recorded, you know. Here's the remote. Enjoy yourself. I've got to say, that's one of them. This whole universe in darkness. Darkness upon the face of the deep. And then the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, four words, let there be light, and boom. It's like somebody just flipped the switch and the whole universe, like the whole thing just comes. And I'm talking about the sunlight, cosmic light. I mean, that God's light. That thing just comes on, man. What a thing, you know. Let there be light. That's the same God that turned on your light when you got saved. That's no exaggeration at all. That's exactly the same God that turned on your light when you had no light whatsoever. And then it says that God is light, in him is no darkness. Well, that means when he put his Spirit in you, that is equivalent to the lights coming on inside. And it says quench not the Spirit. That's equivalent to dimming the lights or turning off the lights. So he said, don't do that. Just let the light shine. So that's point number one. You have a light. Sometimes we forget that. We take it for granted. We don't think about it. You have a light. Don't matter who you are. You got a light that has the potential of being just as bright as anybody else's. Maybe a good bit brighter. To whom much is given, much should be required. Maybe you've got more truth at your disposal, better upbringing, better things going for you, that will allow you to shine even brighter than most Christians, you know. And yet too often we just make light of it, and light of it, there we go, no pun intended, and miss out. God said, don't do that. You have a light. Don't ignore that. Don't make light of it. Number two, it is your light. This is very important. It is your light. It's your own private, distinct light, different than everybody else's. You say, well, I don't know about that. I think all pretty much the same. Nonsense. Look around and you won't see anybody else on this planet that looks just like you. I thank God for that. I have never seen another human being look just like me. I've seen similarities. Obviously, if you run into relatives occasionally here and there, you can see some resemblance. But there's nobody that looks identical to you. I take that to mean that there's a pretty good indication there that if you look different on the outside, you're probably different on the inside. Meaning God made you to be different. Job says he sealeth up the hand of every man. That is so accurate, so precise, that even today in the 21st century, law enforcement still goes by fingerprints. If your fingerprints are on a murder weapon, it ain't good. They don't say, well, that could be half a dozen other people in West Tennessee on average. There's probably that many people within a 100-mile radius with those fingerprints. Nobody ever says that. If Tony Jackson's fingerprints are on a murder weapon, the assumption is Tony Jackson probably committed the crime. Now they start looking for opportunity and motive because they got evidence. Hey, we can check that box. We got that. You know, get Columbo out here. Let's get the rest of it. And they start looking further. Meaning what? You're unique. You look different. Your voice is different, right? Nobody has the same voice. Listen, I'm hard hearing. I am hard hearing. And then right now, I could close my eyes and have everybody in this room just take turns randomly uttering the word, you know, let there be light. And I could tell you, okay, that was Tony, that was Bill, that was Brother Ward, that was Diana. Diana definitely stands out. She called out there at work one day about something I had ordered at Langer's or something. She had to talk to me. This had been several years ago, and I wasn't there or something, and I was at lunch or whatever, and I got... And the office lady told me, some lady called for you. I said, well, who was it, Angela? She said, no, it wasn't Angela. It was some other lady. I said, did she give her name? She said, well, I just told her when you'd be back, she'll call back, or you can call her. I said, I don't know who to call. He said, she had a real chirpy voice. I said, well, I know who that is. Okay, that's all it... She said she had a real chirpy. She said it very smiley, very... She didn't mean it in a bad way. She just had a real bright, chirpy, cheerful, chirpy-top voice. I said, well, that's Diana. So, and I was kind of expecting her to get back with me anyway, so that's what that was. And you know, that's true. If you heard her voice, you would not think, well, that might have been Donna. Donna's a twin. She don't even sound like her, right? Donna is her twin sister, and she don't even sound like her. She don't sound like her mother. She don't sound like her other sister. I mean, everybody's different. Everybody has a different voice. Why? Because everybody's different. Your voice is different. Your appearance is different. Your fingerprint's different. I mean, everything about you is different. Meaning what? Your light is different. And if your light is not shining, God is not getting what he wants out of you. Meaning what? He doesn't want you to be a copycat. He doesn't want you to be going by somebody else's light. God said, I gave you a light. Turn it back on. I think I'll just turn mine off and just use this other light. No, God said, I gave you a light. Let your light shine. Somebody said, well, I'm just all dull and boring. I'm not very bright. I don't have much of a light to shine. God must think you do. God put forth the effort to turn the light on in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's just as true with you as it is with me, as it is with any other Christian, as it is with the most famous preacher on the planet, as it is with the Apostle Paul. It doesn't matter. Every believer has got the same, this is not preached enough and understood enough, has got the same amount of God's Spirit dwelling in them, sealed in us under the day of redemption. He didn't say, I'm sealing you with just a little bit. I'm sealing you with a whole lot. No. He gives the Holy Spirit in his fullness to every believer and seals every believer unto the day of redemption. And the only thing that makes a difference and makes it come across as being different and different believers is that some Christians obey the command to stir up the gift that is in them, and others just simply quench the Spirit. But that's up to the believer. That's up to the individual. God did his part. Man, he flipped on the lights. He said, let there be light, and on they came. And if we've done something to dim it, turn the old dimmer switch, you know, back down or something since then, that is on us. But God has certainly done his part. Come over to 1 Corinthians 12, if you will. 1 Corinthians 12, let your light shine. It's your light. It's your distinct light. And if you're not letting it shine, nobody else can. That's just one hole in the darkness that doesn't get addressed. And that one area that stays dark, don't let that happen. So there might be darkness, but it won't be on me. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. I think we oftentimes get the idea that this is just the devil. He tells you all this stuff, gets you thinking you're not important, you're not significant, you don't have as many. What if? Pardon personal illustration for a second here, but what if I had bought into that idea early on that if you don't have a big church, you're just not important, you're just not significant? We would have never done anything. All this stuff that we published, all these people that contact us, I mean, constantly, in a week's time, I don't come in here and talk about it a lot, but in a week's time, we get orders constantly in the mail, on the internet, and on top of that, every time, almost on a daily basis, somebody sends me a message on the internet asking me a Bible question about something or other. I'm able to help people out that I've never met and probably never will meet until we get to heaven. Somebody in the Philippines, on the other side of the planet. Hey, Brother Melton. I thought, who are you? I don't say it. But they've read our stuff. They've heard me preach. And there's a kindred spirit there where they feel at ease to just address me and say, hey, Brother Melton. I mean, what is it? That's the Lord. That's the Lord bringing two believers together and going to use one to hopefully help the other. And they say, hey, Brother Melton, what about such and such? And what about this? And I heard a preacher say this. Do you agree with this? Do you agree with that? Whatever. And I try to help them. And then finally they get it. And within a few minutes, their Bible question is answered. The confusion is cleared up. Well, wait a minute. The entrance of thy words giveth what? Light. I just punched a hole in some darkness on the other side of the planet. See? By doing what? By just letting what little light I've got shine for God. And the Lord says, do that. Don't ever feel like you're inferior or because you're not, you know, you don't have a big youth herder guy of the day, in my view, kind of tooting his horn a little bit because he had a 20-something thousand YouTube subscribers. Yes, they call them subscribers, not followers, subscribers. And, well, okay, more power to you, but maybe not toot your horn so much. You know, I've got a lot of Facebook followers. I'm not going to come in here and tell you how many all the time. I don't even know how many at this point, but if I did, I wouldn't come in here, you know, look at me. I don't want to do that. For one reason, it'd be very proud and arrogant. Number two, it could very well discourage somebody who can't say something like that, you know. No, but they could probably say something else I couldn't say. They probably got some good things going for them that can make a big difference. Now look at this thing, 1 Corinthians 12. Bible is very clear. We are all important. We are all needed. We are all necessary. And it's a big mistake to start thinking that we're not. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. Start at verse 12. Look at this. You're probably familiar with this. It's been a while since we've been here, though. 1 Corinthians 12. Talking about the body of Christ. All believers. 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That's when the lights came on right there. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Now here we go. If the foot shall say, that'd be wild if your foot started talking, would it not? I've heard of people putting a foot in their mouth, but not a foot having a mouth. If the foot shall say, because I'm not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? I remember Brother Harold Leek's song about that. I ain't got no body. verse 16. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? He said, no, it's still part of the body. See? Just because one body part compares itself to the other, and said, well, I'm not like that. I don't get to be the all-important head or the beautiful eyes. You know, I'm just a big toe. You ever had an ingrown toenail on that big toe? You notice it, don't you? Man, I notice it. I went up there and I won't notice it so much. I went and paid $300 to Dr. Woohoo, whatever his name is, over Union City, to give me a shot in that thing and cut down through there. He said, well, there's a 10% chance it'll come back. I said, that's a 90% chance of success. He said, yeah, I said, go for it. Cut that thing, you know. Man, I was hurting. Just one toe. It could have been the little toe. See? And you notice it. I told you Jerry Vassbinder, former sheriff of Union City, he had his, you know, legs hurt in a motocross accident years ago. She didn't have any feeling in one of his legs at a certain point down. And his toe got broken or messed up or something other, and he couldn't even feel it, but it was just always kind of dangling down there in a way. He just cut it off. He just took a pair of wire cutters or something, just clipped. He said, well, I couldn't feel it anyway, so why worry about it? I said, okay. But he didn't want that thing, and he didn't want that thing bothering him, you know. That's a small body part, a small member. But boy, he got noticed. He realized real quick, something's got to be done. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? Can't everybody be an eye? Couldn't hear anything if you're just all one big eyeball. Like Brother Leek said, just one big eyeball rolling around. If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? If it's just one big ear, you wouldn't be able to smell anything. Now, God has set the members, every one of them in the body, this is it, as it hath pleased him. It don't have to please you and I. We may never understand why he made us the way he made us. But he understands why. Okay? And I've learned this as the years go by. I kind of understand why a little better than I did, say, 20 or 30 years ago. You know, now I kind of get a better idea why I'm like this and not like this. And, you know, I probably couldn't do as much of this as I do if I was like that. So I have to be, I kind of see that. Verse 19, and if they were all one member, where were the body? Obviously, it takes different members to make up a complete body. In fact, if you got too many of one thing, they say you're deformed, right? I mean, if anybody coming here right, if you walked in here today with two heads, nobody will be able to focus on the message because there's a guy sitting back here with two heads. See, doesn't matter how nice and how polite you try to be, you're sitting there thinking, even when you're not looking, that guy's got two heads. You know, you would not be, I mean, you know, or had, you know, an arm here and an arm here and another arm sticking. It's just one extra arm. What's the big deal? He's deformed. Something is weird. Something that is strange. That takes all different kinds of members to make the body. And if you got too many or too little, something is not right. Verse 21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Meaning, a lot of Christians will say that of other Christians or think that of other Christians. Well, you're just a pew sitter. They might not verbally say it, but in the heart they're thinking, they never do anything. They never do anything. Really? Have you seen some of the checks they write to the church? See, the preacher sees all of that. See, you don't know what they're doing. Have you seen how much they give to missions? Well, they just sit on the pew. They never come and do anything. Have you seen how much they pray? You don't know. See, you just don't know. The eye cannot say into the hand, I have no need of thee. Or like Brother Ken Hovind used to say, we might still say it, I don't know. If you can't figure out anything else you can do for the Lord, you can serve as a bad example. Show people what not to do. I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet. I have no need of you. If the head didn't have the feet, it would never go anywhere, would it? Just be stationary all the time, never get to see anything. Wouldn't it be bad to have two perfectly good eyeballs and never get to go see anything because the feet are not there? See? Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Meaning what? They're not really more feeble. They just seem to be. Because we don't have God's wisdom. We don't have God's understanding. And because of that, we think they're more feeble. Says they are necessary. Meaning what? You have a light. You have a light, and it's necessary that it shine, and that's why Jesus said, let your light shine. Let your light so shine before men. You know something? I lived for 54 years. I know I still don't even look that old yet, but I lived for 54 years without even thinking about, I have a little thing in my body called a thyroid. I never even thought about it. And I guess if I had thought about it much, I would have figured, well, that's something that women have. Because every time I'd ever heard anybody talk about somebody having a thyroid problem, it was a woman. You know, I worked with a lady, had a lot of thyroid issues. And I'd heard before then, I'd heard off and on different times, she'd got thyroid problems. It's always a woman having a thyroid problem. And all of a sudden, I started having all these issues going on and you know, losing a lot of weight and my legs are hurting, losing my energy and losing my voice. You know, it's not a good thing when a preacher loses his voice. Even people at work say, man, what's wrong with you? You don't sound right. I said, thanks a lot. You're really a comfort. You know, what a blessing. And so I go to the doctor. And after, you know, going to one doctor and then they end up going to another doctor, they all conclude, you've got a thyroid problem. I do. I didn't know I had one of those. Yeah, you got a thyroid. Well, where is it? I didn't know where it was. I had a guy at work ask me that when he found out I had a thyroid problem. He said, where is the thyroid? I said, it's right here. And I never even knew for sure I had one or what it was. And turned out, my doctors told me, they said, basically what happened is your thyroid just started going crazy and getting real aggressive and just overworking. You know, I don't know why. Maybe the other body parts, like the all-important heart and lungs, were making fun of it for being little and insignificant. And the thyroid said, oh yeah, you just watch me. And boy, it just took off and like to kill me. And now I know I got a thyroid. And I know that it is necessary. And I think he knows he's necessary because he was with me down there the day when the doctor said, now we're going to do this medication and try to get it back in control. And if we can't get little thyroid buddy in control, we're going to have to kill him. That's what he said. I said, kill him or kill me? Him. We're going to kill him. I said, how you do that? Well, we do an iodine thing and it kills the thyroid. So the thyroid isn't that necessary? Oh, no, it's very necessary. We have to replace it with a proper pill and stuff. I think it comes from a pig, if I'm not mistaken. What is it, hormones? Is that what it is that you get from a thyroid? I don't remember all he said. Is that right? And I think the closest thing to it is a pig. That's interesting in light of what Scripture says about lost people. I thought, I'm saved. I don't need a pig. You know, I want one from a sheep, okay? Or a flying eagle, something majestic. But a pig? Come on. And he said, we'll have to kill it and replace it with medication, that, you know, a pill that you take. Thank God that didn't happen, you know. And I got the thing in line, and now I take a very mild minimum dosage of what he started me off at. Possibly going to get off of that completely one day. It just seemed like it's just gradually getting better, hopefully. But what did I learn from that? I learned that every body part is necessary. Even the one I didn't know I had. I knew I had a little toe, see? I knew I had a big toe. I knew I had 10 of them all together. I knew that. Looking in the mirror, I knew I got 2 ears, you know, 2 eyes, all that. I didn't know for sure I had a thyroid. I never even thought about it. And yet there that thing was. And when those doctors who knew what they were talking about heard about my symptoms and all the stuff, even this one up here, Dr. Beatty said, sound like a thyroid issue. I said, it does? Yes. I went to the one down in Memphis. Oh, it's definitely a thyroid issue. We'll do the test to confirm it, but I know that's where we're going with this. Sure enough, that's what it was. What's the point? It is necessary. Every body part is necessary. Every Christian is necessary. And that's why God put your light in you. And your job and my job is to make sure this light right here, not somebody else's light, my light is shining the way it's supposed to. And I think most Christians will not do that because it requires responsibility. It's easier just to lean on somebody else and just kind of go with their, you know, I won't get into the story. I don't want to get into it, but I might not forget some details. But I remember a certain preacher talking about one of his sons one time, basically saying that he didn't have to study and learn and put as much into his spiritual growth because he had his dad to lean on. And his dad said, it don't work that way, son. And he had to, you know, straighten him out on that. We're all important. All of us have a light that needs to be shining. And the Lord loses, the Holy Spirit loses when we don't let it shine. Because he plainly said to let your light shine. Nobody else can do that part. Nobody else can do that. If that old thyroid isn't working, everything goes nuts. Even their old well-known faithful heart, it's over here, it wasn't working right. The lungs weren't working right. The muscles weren't working. Everything was just going nuts. The whole body said, whoa, whoa, what's going on up there? Well, the little thyroid over here done messed up on us. Oh, rats, what's he doing now? You know, it and the whole body was affected by that. I mean, y'all had to sit there every week and watch me up here and just wonder, man, he's looking bad. How's it work? How come your eyes look so hollow and deep? I'm dying, I guess. I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what it is. And it was that stupid little thyroid there. You know, a smaller body part. God said it's necessary. Everything is necessary. You are necessary. You are a member, and you're just as important as any other member. Make sure that you let your light shine. It's absolutely essential. Let's move on. First point was you have a light. Second point was it is your light. Third point is let your light shine. You don't make it shine. You don't do any amazing things to have it. You just let it happen. Just get out of the way. Just get out. If you walk into a room and flip on the light switch, or if you walk into a room, the lights are already on, you don't have to do anything to have light now. It's already there. Unless you do something to hinder the light. You put up something that, you know, or like my boss years ago, Mr. Simrell, he come into the plant one day. It's before my time, but he walks into the plant, and he walks through there, and he's looking up. He said, man, these lights are awful dim. He said, we need to get these lights cleaned off. And he got the guys, some of them stop what they were doing, and get up and go all over the plant and clean off, wipe off these big, long, fluorescent 8-foot tubes, you know, all over the plant. and just get all those lights cleaned off because it was getting too dim in there. And he got all done. He said, I don't know what's wrong. Don't look any better. And I said, well, you might want to take your sunglasses off. He said, I felt like a fool. I said, I bet you did. He had that whole, all those lights cleaned because he couldn't see. The problem wasn't the lights. The problem was he had the shades on. See? And we can do that if you don't let your light shine. God said, let it shine. Just let it happen. It's like breathing. You will breathe naturally, right? You will just automatically breathe. You can breathe when you're asleep. You don't have to do anything. I mean, I have a sleep out machine, but I can do without it. It doesn't keep me breathing. It's not like a ventilator. I mean, I can take that thing off. Sometimes, a lot of times I do take it off. I look over and it says, you've now slept 4 hours and 17 minutes. I said, okay, that covers it. Take it off. Insurance is good for 4 hours. Lay that thing aside. I'll take my final nap without that on. This morning I just got up. 4:30, I was probably over here already, you know, doing couldn't sleep a bit. But I just, automatically, you just breathe. Your heart beats too, doesn't it? You don't do anything to make your heart beat, unless you have to have some special gadget or something or other. Most people, probably nobody here, has anything installed that keeps their heart going. It's just a natural thing. Gosh, that's the way this works. Just let, God said, I turned the lights on. I said, let there be light. So boom, the lights are on. Don't turn them off. Don't hinder them. Don't put on the shades. Don't tint the windows. Don't do anything. Just let the light shine. Let the light, just let it, one of the Beatles songs or something or other, let it be. Let it be, just let it happen. Just let it let it happen. Let it be what it needs to be. Over in Mark chapter 3, verse 11, Jesus said, "But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given to you in that hour, speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Spirit." Ghost. Notice he did not say anything about tongues when he said that. He said when the Holy Ghost speaks, he speaks that which needs to be spoken at the appropriate time. We just call that being led by the Spirit. In other words, there's nothing wrong with practicing and learning the Bible. There's nothing wrong. That's what one, I've been asked about this a number of times through the years. Why don't we do this, quote, discipleship training where you're trained and programmed to have the right response in this situation and that situation as you try to witness. If they say this, then you say this. And if they say that, then you say this. And, you know, I'm going to tell you why. I don't believe in that. I believe in getting in that book and learning everything you can possibly learn and putting everything in the storehouse you possibly can. So the Holy Spirit has all kinds of stuff to work with at His disposal in the way He wants to use it. Because no two situations are the same. And there is no way I can tell you right here today, if they say this, then you need to say this. No, it's better for the Holy Spirit to tell you what to say when the moment comes. Now, some preachers take that verse to mean, well, don't study your Bible. You know. Oh, that's a guy I told Moody. I never know what I'm going to preach until 10 minutes before I get in the pulpit. You know, and Moody had, he was short. I love Moody. He said, that's why nobody remembers over 10 minutes after you're finished. So, his point, you get in that book and study everything you can. You learn all that you can and apply it. Put it in there, install it on the hard drive, if you will. And then when God wants some of it, He's got a vast resource to pull from. Say, it's not like you don't know the Scripture. You just got it all in there, and God can pick whatever He wants. Say, like the little kid praying, you know, at bedtime. He just started praying A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Son, what are you doing? What are you doing? Dad, I'm just giving God the whole alphabet. He can put it together the way, the way He wants. That's kind of what this is. and you don't overplan and over prepare to do anything a certain way. No, you just build yourself up spiritually so you can just, quote, let God do whatever he wants to do because you've given him something to work with. Does that make sense? It's not you doing this little program. We're not machines. We're not robots. That's where a lot of the brethren fall short, that they think that we're just computers. And you just go to this little school, and it's 4 years of programming and getting you all prepped up to go out. And now every time you witness to somebody, no matter who it is, you say the exact same thing. I almost never say the exact same thing. People are different. And you probably don't need to talk to a 45-year-old man the same way you talk to an 8-year-old little girl. Some of the brethren do. Well, you see, we see here from the Word of God. Wait a minute. You're talking to somebody's grandfather. They're insulted that you're talking to them like a child. And you're too dumb to know it. Why? Because you're not letting your light shine. You're just a programmed machine. A dead machine with no life, no wisdom, no spiritual discernment. Say, and you're just trying to go through the motions, and God is not. You quenched the spirit 4 years ago when you signed up for the school. Say, God says, let your light shine. That means get out of the way. Don't do or say anything. That Paul said it this way, quench not the spirit. Let it be just, it's one of the... It's one of the easiest things a Christian can do because it's natural. It's just as natural as breathing. It's just as natural as knowing your heart is going to keep on beating. Nobody lays down at night and thinks, I'm afraid to go to sleep. I'm afraid my heart might quit beating because I'm not there to moderate it and know and I'm not aware that I just. I just took a breath, and I got to remind myself to breathe in again. No, your body will take care of that. It's involuntary. That's what this is. So he said, let. Meaning what? It's already shining. God's already turned the lights on. Just get out of the way. Just keep yourself out of the way, and let God work. Amen? Does that make any sense? Am I saying anything I need to get across today at all? Another thing over in Luke 12, verse 35, is a good verse. He said, let, that word is again, let your loins be girded, your loins, not somebody else's, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Another one. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. That's Luke 12, verse 35. There's too much mechanic, too much machine, too much programming somebody to do if they say this, you say this. Well, what do I say if they say that? I'll tell you what to say. You see what God tells you to say. You learn the Word of God so He has all kinds of stuff to work with. And whether it's a Christian you're trying to comfort and edify and teach and instruct in some way, or whether it's a lost person you're trying to be a witness, an example to in some way, just know Scripture. I mean, really this approach is more encouraging to study the Scripture more than ever. Because you don't just get to study the Romans Road only. You have to study all of it. So God has so much more to work with. Say, man, you read through Paul's writings. Man, he's quoting everything. He's all over the place. You read through the Gospels there. Jesus will quote from the Psalms. He'll quote from Isaiah. He'll quote from Genesis. I mean, he's just all over the place, quoting all kinds of stuff, using all kinds of stuff, letting his light shine. Paul let his light shine. And listen, the reason I keep referring to the Scripture for this, because the entrance of thy words giveth what? Light. Light. Your light will shine the brightest when you know the Word of God. When you know, it's like you got a, I don't know, 25 watt bulb or a 40 watt bulb, a 60 watt bulb, or 100, you know, I mean, go for the big one. go for the bright lights, amen. And he said, let your light shine. Let it happen. Does that make sense for you today? Just simple stuff. We're not nothing deep, we're about done. But one is you have a light. You do have one. No matter what you think about it, God said, you got one. I put it there. I mean, the way Jesus said that is pretty good too, because he didn't waste any time. It's like Genesis 1, in the beginning God. Well, time out. What if I'm an atheist and I don't believe in God? God said, too bad. We start with the assumption that there is a God. See, that's what he's saying. In the beginning God. He doesn't waste any time trying to prove his existence. Jesus shows up, Matthew 5, let your light so shine before men. How do I know I have a light? I just said you did. He doesn't prove it. He doesn't go into the explaining how it works. He just said, you are the light of the world. Now, other places we can put scripture together, as we talked about a little bit, and explain when that happened. It happened when you got saved. You were in darkness. Christ, the light of the world, moved in. Now you're lit up. That's how it happened. There's lots of scripture that can be used for that. But he doesn't even go into that. He just said, ye are the light of the world. He said, so you do have a light. Now that you have it, do something with it. Don't get in the way. Don't mess it up. You have a light. Number two, it is your light, meaning it's distinct from everybody else's. That's something the devil will lie to you about and have you thinking, well, I'm nothing. I'm nobody. I could never do this. I could never do that. Moses started out that way. I'm a slow tongue and slow speech. I'm not much. I can't talk in front of people. God said, we'll see about that. We'll see what you end up doing. He ends up writing the first five books in the Bible. And when he gets done toward the end of the last one there, he opens his mouth and he can't shut up. He did the same thing with Moses, with Aaron. When he's going down there, he was supposed to be the one to let Aaron do the talking, because he'd already said, I can't talk. And yet when he got to talking, he couldn't shut up. God said, you just let me get in there and let me work. And don't think I'm just a little dim light and I'm a little flickering light on the Christmas thing, you know, that flickers out and won't work anymore, you know. God said, oh no. I lit your light. It is on. It is burning. It is illuminated. It's not going to go out unless you dim it or you do something to it. And the third point was, let it shine. Just get out of the way. I think the average Christian never does that. They're so busy trying to copy somebody else, trying to measure up to the expectations of other people, and keep some quota that they've been handed by the devil, that they never really just learn to let their light shine. That's sad. That's sad, because you only get one life. You don't get to, you know, do it the wrong way and then come back the second time and correct it. Don't get to do that. You get one life. Let it shine. Get out of the way and let it shine. Amen. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. All right, let's all stand.